preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
What kind of government in the life of the church did the Lord put in place that is designed to help you, dear listener, grow in your faith? Why is it so important, Apostle Paul, that we listen carefully to the qualifications for elders and deacons? The one office that often gets kicked to the curb in its view and importance is the office of deacon. The deacon, the diaconate, is a glorious office that the Lord gave to demonstrate the mercy of Jesus Christ to fallen sinners, to help them in their needs, to show compassion to people in their weariness. It's an office of love and an office that we have not appreciated in the Christian church. Why did God give deacons, and why does it matter so much to Him that this office function correctly and with men who demonstrate the biblical qualities? This matters a lot to our Lord today on Abounding Grace. We're going to look at the glorious office of the deacon. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. All of these programs are there, free for download, maps to churches in your areas, and a way there to support us if you wish. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. We have some exciting possibilities of taking Abounding Grace into Central and South America, and possibly in the future to Africa. So if you are a supporter of Abounding Grace, you're contributing to a great cause to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ over the airwaves so that sinners would hear the gospel and hear the Lord's answer to all of the brokenness and misery that we see, that they would enjoy forgiveness. Thanks for supporting the program. Here is that program today on Abounding Grace. We're looking at the office of deacon. This is part two, then, of that message on the importance of the office of deacon, and we hope it's a blessing to you.
Remember, the sort of quality that launched all the other qualities, into all the other qualities, was an elder had to be blameless. This word dignified functions in the same way. From this great overarching quality, everything else follows to explain what a dignified deacon looks like. You know a dignified man. He's not a child. I believe that we sort of treat the office of deacon as the office where we could put the younger man in, since the office of elder means older, therefore the young guy should go in the deacon. That is not necessarily the case at all. In fact, I would encourage us to fill it not just with younger men, but with older men. We need older men in this office. A dignified man is something that often comes and is earned with age. Testing. We'll look at that in a moment. Testing. Paul raises here for this office testing first. So from dignified, he explains then how you can discern if a man is dignified and set apart for this. Sometimes the best thing to do when you're looking at somebody is tell him what he should not be. And he does that with three qualifications that follow to say this is what he should not be. Three negatives. He is beginning with not double-tongued. It gives the sense of insincerity in speech, saying one thing and doing another. It's double talk. He's engaged in double talk. And then he goes on, not addicted to wine and not greedy for dishonest gain. Those are one ways it's said. Our translation says, yeah, not addicted to wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. It's not a love for money, we'll go on and say in a moment. All of these issues here, these three negatives, have to do with the sincerity of the man. Sincerity. And remember what I said earlier. These are things every Christian should aspire to. This is sanctification and holy living at its best. That's why I love studying this. This is what every Christian should be aspiring to. You need exemplary men in this position to model this and pattern this for the body. So notice here what he does. If a man is double-tongued, he's a flatterer. He says one thing and does the other. Can you imagine that in the office of deacon? That's the worst kind of character flaw for the office. How could someone have sincere care for people who flatters with the mouth but never makes good on the care? Who flatters with empty promises but really is not out there really helping? Sincere words with love and sincerity win people. And if the office is designed to bring healing, you see how important the tongue is. The tongue is vital for the office. The tongue and sincerity of speech is everything. The deacon is called to give constantly a word of encouragement to the broken. A word. You could go on, if the deacon's enslaved to alcohol. You understand that? This is an office that's intended, and you're going to find people who face these problems left and right, whose lives have been wrecked by these abuses. How can a man do that if he's given to it? The same is true with the third negative quality, not greedy, you'll notice here, for money or dishonest gain. You see the value of that qualification, that he's dealing with the monies of the church and the people's gifts in the life of the church. Money's not the root of all evil, but the love of it is. And if he loves it, how in the world is he going to rightly help those when he's dealing with other people's money? So, if he can't handle these desires, if there's insincerity in these things, he's not a man for the office. So you're looking at character again. Character, character, character. Remember what I said? We all look at gifting first. Character, 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 from which gifting will flourish. And I believe Paul summarizes this importance by saying next that you should look at the man's ability to not discriminate. I love the next quality, something we all should be so caring about, and that's verse 9. They must hold the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. I love that. I absolutely love that quality. Paul tells us what that is. All throughout the New Testament, he calls it the mystery of the faith. The best definition of it is given in Ephesians chapter 3. When you read this, you can perceive, and here it is, my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You say, what in the world does that have to do? Well, a lot. How did the office originate? Under what kind of problem? The Hellenists were being discriminated against. Remember? The Hellenists complained because the Hebrew women got better treatment. Paul tells us in the New Testament, the mystery is God's opened the door to all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. Those boundaries, ethnic boundaries, racial boundaries, those boundaries that we raise even between men and women, not in terms of serving in the office, but in terms of salvation, he's ripped that down. All this unfair treatment has gone on in the history of the church. Here's the mystery. The mystery is Jesus has opened the door to everyone. Every different kind of people. Now, do you see how important that would be for the diaconate? You can't show favoritism. We've had have to long to help all recognizing that Christ is building his church from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and holding the mystery of faith with a clear conscience is absolutely integral to the office and design of Christ's ministry of mercy. Clear conscience on this. Because the fact is, few seem to understand this mystery. we show partiality. I mean, James warns about it in different ways, that we show partiality with the rich. We give them the best seats. We honor them in society. And the common problems in the church are those who are different from us, we shun. We have people who are stable, we have people who are not so stable. And what is our attitude? Well, we know these people. Here, let me give you the attitude. They don't change. They don't change. One problem after another. And we see people who have needs, and what is easily the deacon's first question that can happen? Well, we need to open the books. Or if someone walks in off the street that has been had a pattern of we have of concern about them, our first thought is they won't change. We know these people, they work the system. See why sincerity matters? What if they do work the system? Shouldn't we help them? Bitter spirit develops, and we can easily just throw money at people, I guess, with a passive-aggressive spirit, but not really invested to love and help. I've seen more debates in deacons, among deacons in the years, over going the cheap route, always going for whatever's easiest, whatever's best, the cheap route, you know? Good enough, good enough, good enough, good enough. That's the spirit. What happens if you look at that situation? What often develops in the diaconate is a ministry of scrutiny and no longer a ministry of mercy. It's a ministry of mercy. It's a good thing I'm not a deacon. I'd give away way too much. I'd give away way too much. I'm not saying we shouldn't be responsible. We should be responsible. But we should have men who are so eager to help broken people. Listen, if you didn't have any of these problems of people messing up their lives with alcohol abuse and money problems, you wouldn't even need the office of deacon. You understand that? If you didn't have these problems, you wouldn't need the office of deacon. It's a ministry of mercy to messed up people, and we're all messed up. The deacons have to be shining lights when it comes to showing mercy to the down and outs and treat them the same. Bringing in people who are different, working with the poor, working with the rich. You'll notice our church order says, as resources permit, even to those on the outside. Some who are hard to get along with, some difficult, some who are way outside the mold and grain. The deacons are to model getting down in the trenches and getting their hands dirty and working with great sinners. Salvation is going out to the ends of the earth, and I remind you, it was Judas who held tight to the money bag. It was Judas who snapped when he realized he wasn't getting what he wanted out of it. It was Judas who held the purse. In short, the deacons have to love as Christ did the tax collectors and the sinners. What an important qualification. He must hold the faith with a mystery, with a clear conscience. Third, look at the evidence. Verse 10. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. I read that, and again, we seem to make the office of deacon the training ground for the office of elder, but the Bible just doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't do that at all. The office has so much dignity, so much honor, representing the mercy of Christ, that it says before anyone ever gets into the office, they need to first be tested. That's a call to test them. That doesn't mean they go through additional testing. What it means is stress is you have to give careful assessment when you consider the man as to the candidate's life to ensure that we're not putting somebody in that position that should be representing the mercy of Christ who would never do it. And that's been the point stressed. Look at the servants among you. Our danger in the rotating of offices is that we view it like a light switch. We turn on and turn off. A deacon is a deacon. An elder is an elder. Whoever is a deacon is demonstrating it right now if he's not in office. So you have to look and say, look at their involvement, look at their service, look at their love for people. A deacon's a deacon. God gave him the gift. Gifts are not like light switches. So give due attention to these men, knowing for sure in your hearts they're qualified to demonstrate and exemplify such a high and wonderful ministry of mercy to the people. Now, finally tonight, here's the last one, similar to the elder. Look at his home. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. Some translations read verse 11, the NAS, women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips and so on. That nuance is huge, and we need to think about it just for a second. If you translate it just women, that could give the idea that you have in justification for the office of women being deacons, the office of deacon having women in the office. But if you look at the original design for the office of Acts 6, the Holy Spirit specifically said, set aside seven men. It was a calling for men to be in these offices. And chapter 2 deals with authority structures and men and women, not in a degrading way, but in a complementary way and in a role-setting way. The clear precedent for the office of deacon is that it is to be men in this office. So it's best to understand this, and I do believe this is really beautiful here, that the early church viewed wives of deacons as a sort of combination approach to the office. In other words, deacons' wives were vitally important to the maintaining of the man and helping him serve in his office. In fact, you know this, there are those circumstances when it's just better to employ a woman to go help another woman, to counsel another woman. That's exactly what went on in the early church. And maybe Phoebe is a good example of that in Rome, where she is called a diaconess. So mentorship and involvement of women to use their gifts to help the wives of deacons to help in that service was very important and a beautiful thing, even though they aren't designated as being inherently part of the diaconate in the sense of they're not being called themselves, there are qualifications given for deacons' wives. Isn't that fascinating? Look at this. Let the wives of deacons be reverent, same word as earlier, respectable, serious-minded. He used that word, dignified, same thing. Then what does he say next? Not slanderers, which translates in, we here have in some translations, malicious gossips when things don't go their way. She can't be prone to being a gossip. Paul knows this, and by saying, let the wives of deacons not be this, he knows that the wife of a deacon can destroy the work. She needs to be temperate and trustworthy, of a sound mind, dependable. She has to be just as on board with her husband. If she's not, then the man will not be able to serve in the capacity in the way that the office is designed. It will hurt the office. It will hurt the office. What an important responsibility for all women in the church. When the Bible calls men to serve, it recognizes that behind a man is a good man serving is a good woman who's so supportive and godly and striving to fulfill her role, who wants to see the church built up and is not running around gossiping. This is the design. This is under the inspiration of the Spirit. And so he ties it together in verse 12, concluding the requirements, let the deacons be husbands of one wife. We looked at that last time with the elders, ruling their children well and their own houses well. He has to love his wife. It's a commitment to his wife in a culture where there was very little of that and infidelity was rampant. Loving his wife, cherishing his wife, and his children, respecting him, and the house being managed well. Just like the elder, the key mark of his ability is to lead is how he demonstrates his leadership in the home, first being the husband of one wife, committed to her in the relationship of sexual purity and love. How important is the office of deacon? How important is the office of deacon? Sad we've given it the sort of second-rate office, isn't it? The Lord doesn't. I want to say one other thing tonight. The office of deacon being an office of love. And I'm speaking now for pastors, for elders, for deacons. It is a general principle that if a pastor is going to serve well, he's got to love the city that he's in, and he's got to love the people that he serves. You got to love where you are to serve well. You got to love the people to serve well. I have noticed that since the office of deacon gets second rate, last, lowest rung on the totem pole, we'll get, and this is not necessarily here, just notice this as patterns, we'll get people who come into the office of deacon, maybe it's just family rotating in and out, maybe it's just the tradition rotating in and out. They may not even love the church. Their eye may be over there. They may not even want to be in this church. If you don't love this people, if you don't love this church, don't step into this office, please. You'll never give your heart for them. And you'll never demonstrate the love Christ has for these people right here. So Christ loves these sheep. I've got to love you. Elders have to love you fervently. Deacons have to love with the kind of compassion and ministry to the hurting and broken that Christ wants us to have. That means you've got to be invested here. You got to love worshiping here. Paul has a great statement at the end of this for deacons to close this out tonight. What an encouragement at the end of this. This is for deacons right here. Verse 13, for those who have served well as deacons. What a great statement. Who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That is quite a reward. That is quite a reward he puts for the deacons. And I'm convinced he did that because of our low view of the office. You will gain a good standing for yourselves and great confidence in your faith. I love that. That is in Christ Jesus. So tonight, you obtain those things, and the Lord encourages us, if you have these gifts and you're called upon, step forward. The Lord will equip you. Being blameless, being dignified does not mean being sinless. I fully say that. Our sufficiency is always in Christ. But what a privilege. Oh man, what a privilege it is to represent the Lord Jesus Christ's mercy to his people until he comes again on the clouds of heaven, and then that will be needed no more. Let's thank him tonight in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow the head, so thankful for these offices and thankful for your care. And it challenges us. We need to be challenged. We need to be challenged because our motivations have to be tested about what is most important and why we're doing what we're doing. Would you please give us, Lord, hearts of service in this place? Hearts that love to represent becoming a slave of all. And that our whole church would be given to the word of God, loving the gospel We understand there are many glory roads that people pursue and want the glory now. But let this be a place where the word of God flourishes in the hearts of your people. They're growing in their love for Christ and understanding the gospel. And as that overtakes them, they want to live thankfully as servants of the King, denying themselves and becoming slaves of all. May that be most exemplified among us in this office of deacon, so that the compassions of Christ would be witnessed, and that those who have great needs, they would be met, so that ultimately they would come and hear Christ's word and receive forgiveness, pardon, grace for the wilderness way, and learn more and more how to love you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.